That's really what draws us to be a good follower and to be a good leader, because we sort of revolve around or evolve around the mission or the purpose. That's what ties us together.
Hello and welcome back to Leader Up, a podcast of Army Management Staff College. Leader Up is a professional conversation where we discuss a broad range of leadership and leader development topics with an emphasis on the Army civilian professional. I'm your host, David Howie. And on today's episode of Leader Up, we're going to talk about a topic that is, it's kind of new in the Army. The concept isn't new, but kind of labeling it and studying it is new, and it's followership. And so to talk about followership today, I've brought down a good friend of mine and a good friend of the Leader Up podcast, and this is Gary Heisel from the Advanced Course. And so, Gary, thank you for being with us today on Leader Up and talking to us about followership.
No, glad to be here, David. Thank you for having me.
First of all, let me get a little bit about your background and kind of what you do here in Army Management Staff College.
Sure. So I spent 30 years on active duty in the Army as an officer, filled various roles as either a follower or a leader during that time. And then as I retired, I started teaching here 10 years ago, primarily in the advanced course and also in the intermediate course as a leader development and leadership instructor facilitator.
Let's talk about this topic, followership. And I just start off big picture. What is followership?
So it's a role that we all play and fill in the Army and really in our life. Followership is not about, you know, being sheep and following the shepherd. It's really about, you know, filling a role, because we all follow someone at some point and sometimes we lead. So followership is really, you know, a role that we play in the Army.
And I'd like to introduce a quote and tell me if this addresses the topic of followership. And the quote is from Aristotle. And it is, "He who cannot be a good follower cannot be a good leader." Do you agree with that? And how would that help us understand a little bit about this idea of followership?
I think as an Army civilian, and really in the uniform as well, that we are servant leaders. And to be a good servant, you have to follow. But you also have to lead. So you sort of go in and out of these roles. So you have to understand how to follow to be a good leader. And that's really what I think this whole idea of servant leadership is about.
I've heard this term leading up, which I've always taken that to mean there are sometimes when I have to lead my leader, that is a followership, is it not? When I go in and talk to my boss and say, "Hey, we need to talk about this. Can we look at some other ways to get this done?" Is that good followership when someone does that?
I think so. Yeah, great book, Leading Up. So sometimes we have to give our boss some direction, some purpose and motivation as followers and help him or her to lead. So we're really kind of leading in that respect, but we're also following at the same time. So yeah, that's a great point.
The director of the advanced course, Jerome Hawkins, when he came to the intermediate course a number of years ago, he wanted to get right into the classroom, which I was happy to see, and facilitate. And he said he wanted to facilitate with me. He is my quote-unquote supervisor, my boss, but at the same time, we're in the classroom. He's never done that kind of facilitation, and so I'm coaching him and guiding him, and that is a kind of a form of followership, is it not? When the boss needs to know something and I've got the knowledge and I have to impart it on the boss, that is incumbent on me if I want to say that I'm a good follower.
Yeah, I think it gets to the point of we all fill different roles. You may be in a position of authority, but you're necessarily not leading at that point, because David Howie's got the information. He knows the mission purpose better than the supervisor. So he sort of fills a followership role at that point where you're leading. And then as he takes on the role of leading the organization in a different capacity, you fall into the followership role. And he's the leader at that point. So I think the mission And the purpose really is the thing that drives us in this. And that's sort of the crux of the followership lesson, that we're driven by the mission or the purpose. That's what we gravitate around, both the leader and the follower.
Right. And sometimes a leader will need to understand something, and they have to go down and be trained on it or educated on it by someone who is in their organization. Tank commander is frustrated with tool processes, and so he or she goes down to the motor pool to the clerk and says, all right, walk me through this process like I'm going to learn your job. Show me how this is supposed to work. And then that person explains it and tells them what they need to know. That's an example of being a good follower, is it not?
It's a great example. And when I was a battalion commander, it's funny you'd mention that, because I had soldiers that were sheriffs and had done police work. We're getting ready to go into Iraq in 2004. I'm the battalion commander, but they're really training me, and I'm following their example of how we do, you know, four-man stacks to go in and take down a building. I'd never done that. I'm an artilleryman. I don't know how to do that. They do. So I had to basically assume a followership role, let them lead, even though they were corporals and staff sergeants. So that's an excellent example that hits home with me for sure.
How is followership related to something like mission command, this idea of mission command? What is that kind of that reciprocalness, followership and mission command? How are those things related?
I think mission in mission command is really says it all. We are, you know, pulled to the mission, and mission command, which it sounds very uniform centric, but it applies to Army civilians as well, that we're tied to the purpose or the intent. So what is the intent of the boss? What is the purpose of what we're doing, our mission? And that really followership is sort of aligned, as I talked about earlier, that we're drawn to the purpose or the mission, which is what mission command, one of the principles is to fill the intent or the purpose and accomplish the mission, the end state.
Right. And one of the other, another one is underwriting risk or prudent risk, which if I'm a follower and I've got an intent, but then the conditions are a little bit different, a good follower will adjust to the conditions to meet that intent, not just say, well, they said I couldn't do this, so I see that if I do that, I'm going to achieve the boss's intent, but I don't want to get in trouble, so I'm going to sit here, you know, south of the phase line until somebody tells me to go north of the phase line. And if I do that kind of malicious, what is that called? The malicious compliance, knowing that if I don't do something that I'm not going to meet the boss's intent, but I'm doing that to keep myself from getting in some kind of regulatory trouble. That's not really being a good follower, is it? Do you agree with that?
I do agree with that. Mission command, as well as most things we do, is based on trust. So trust is sort of the foundation. So we have to trust that the leader knows what he's talking about and is doing it in an ethical, moral way, and get behind that and accomplish the mission, fulfill the purpose. And some of us who are in positions of authority have to step back and go, everybody's got a boss. So we have to follow more than we lead most of the time. So yeah, I think it ties right back to mission command and trust and accepting prudent risk, right? Taking a risk. Leaders, I believe, go first. Leaders take risks. Followers have to do the same thing.
There are different types of followers. And so can we just talk about the different types and kind of when they are helpful, when they're useful, when it's effective, and maybe times when it's not effective to be that kind of a follower?
So we base the, and this is a new lesson that we're rolling out, followership. And I'm pretty excited about it. Peter O'Gan, who's my co-author for the lesson, as we started looking at this, we took a book by Ira Shelliff, who talks about the courageous follower, and he breaks it down into these four types that you mentioned. And I'll just kind of walk through each one of those types. So the first type is the resource. And the resource is really somebody who comes to work, does their job, his or her job, accomplishes the mission, but really doesn't take a whole lot of initiative and go beyond what you know, the mission dictates or your duty description dictates. So they're a resource. Do we need resource folks that want to do that? You betcha. Some people just want to come in and do 8 hours of work or whatever time frame they need to do to fill the mission. So resource is the first type. The second type is the individualist. So the individualist really doesn't have a whole big regard for the leader, sort of a low opinion of the leader, if you will, but is willing to push back on the leader and sometimes questions everything the leader does, but will call them out, especially if they're going in the wrong direction. So individualist, right? The other type is implementer. The implementer is somebody who can get behind the leader, will always implement whatever policy, whatever the mission dictates, won't necessarily question the leader if they're going sort of in left field or doing something that may not be quite right. That's the implementer. And then there's the partner. The partner always gives vigor support to the leader, willing to do what it takes to get the mission done, but will also question when things are not going in the right direction or maybe it's illegal or immoral. I think that's what Ira gets to when he talks about the courageous follower, that we just don't, you know, get in line and do whatever the boss or the leader says. But I think all four of these we fill different times. So none of them are better than the other one. Maybe the partner and implementer are what we do or we want to see folks in followership do more than being just an individualist or resource. But there's times when you need to be a resource or call the boss out and be an individualist.
Which of the roles that we take on could be dependent on the relationship we have with that leader, the level of trust, and it also could be the topic or what the mission is. Is that, are you on board with that assessment?
Yeah, I think, you know, national defense is the purpose and why we do what we do, is to support our nation, support the American people. So that we're drawn to that mission. Sometimes we're drawn to a charismatic leader or somebody who we just thoroughly believe in. So we're drawn to that. But I think what everything revolves around is the mission or the purpose. But we could fill a different role. Say the boss isn't as enigmatic or, you know, doesn't inspire us to do or motivate us to do things, but the purpose does. So we can still be a partner or we can still be an implementer. Sometimes we just kind of fill a role and fill a resource role. Sometimes we need to be that individualist to call the boss out, but not do that all the time. So it's sort of a mix between these four different types.
Sometimes leaders will want a different follower. You've seen where certain behaviors in organizations are rewarded. And so sometimes leaders create an environment where the follower becomes one of those four types. Have you seen that?
Yeah, I think you need all four types in an organization, quite honestly. You know, if I'm the leader, I'd love to have just somebody who's an implementer, who just kind of follows. But when you sit back and question yourself, is that really what you want? You want somebody who's kind of a critical thinker and will challenge you at times. So that partner, and maybe the individualist who sort of says, hey, did you think through this thoroughly? I'm not sure you're going in the right direction. And you want to have those resource folks that are going to get the job done and do what they need to do. And you can always count on them to do the task. When I think about myself, I probably filled all four of these from time to time throughout my 40-year career.
Absolutely. And I know when I was a young tank company commander back in the late 1980s, I remember our battalion XO, just a really intelligent man that I really admired. His name was Lou Brown, and I don't know where he ended up or where he is today. He came out one day to the training area, and we were talking, and he said, we got one problem in this battalion. He said, we have a company commander that does everything the battalion commander says. He wasn't talking about me. After I thought about it, I knew what he was talking about, and I thought, wasn't that kind of what we want? And then I realized, no, sometimes there does need to be a little pushback, and we owe that to our leader if we don't agree wholeheartedly with what they're doing. Part of being a good follower is learning how to push back, to point out issues in a way that's respectful that's intelligent, that indicates some level of critical thought.
Yeah, I think Ira Chelif in the book talks about just that thing, not just being a follower, but being a courageous follower. Somebody's going to challenge. Somebody is going to use critical and creative thinking to say, hey, maybe there's a better way to do this. A lot of us like to think, well, you know, we've done it this way. It works really well. And we've always done it this way. You've heard this in the Army a lot. Well, why are you trying something different? We've always done it this way. Well, maybe there's that individualist or partner who will go, maybe there's a better way to do it and will challenge us. We don't necessarily like that all the time, but when we sit back and think about it, if we want to do something in a better way, come up with a more innovative way, maybe we need to be challenged as leaders. But we need to understand that as followers as well.
And, you know, I had a coworker a couple of years ago. He's retired now, so he's fair game. He was a really good guy. I loved working with him. His name was Wayne Ditto. He was kind of the individualist. Anytime something came up, you would get a kind of a different perspective. And he came out of the enlisted side and he came out of the personnel side. So he was very faithful to the processes, the reg. When you're processing personnel actions, and so I always knew when I went to him and discussed something, he was going to push back a little bit and tell me, well, you know, TRADOC says da, 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 and it's like, I don't care what TRADOC says. It's like, well, you need to care a little bit about what they say. But he was like that, not in a way that his intention was always to be helpful, was always to be careful about doing things right with the intent of keeping the organization out of trouble. And I admired that in him, that he was kind of willing to be the bridge troll, the stick in the mud, kind of throw rain on the parade to make sure that we're doing it right.
Yeah. I think doing things right and doing them the right way are key. So the individualist can kind of bring that, and Ditto sat right across from me. So I know exactly what you're talking about, because he would challenge everything and would push back with the right intent, because he wanted to get the mission done, the purpose. He was just keeping you honest, and he filled that role. So you kind of need that individualist role. Now, do you want that all the time? Probably not. You can't just be stuck in that one followership mode or of the four different types. You don't want to be one type of an individualist or just a resource all the time. So we sort of go in and out of these four different roles, I believe.
And so for the folks out there in the audience, I think maybe the question is, of these four types, resource, individualist, implementer, or partner, do you find yourself falling into one of those naturally out of habit? And can you recognize times when you kind of have to push yourself to be one of the other types of followers? That's, folks out there in the audience, you might want to just think about that as we're talking about these four different types of followers. Because I know for me, and this goes back to your SDI, your MBTI, all that, I like to be an implementer and a partner. That's how I like to see myself. I can see times when I have needed to be an individualist, push back a little bit in the right way, in the best interest of the organization. So I want to give you another quote. This is a quote that General Stanley McChrystal made, and I'll just read this. Followers have to own the problem also. Followers have to say, our leader has this mission. It's not just their mission, it's our mission, and we have to be as loyal to that mission as we are to our leader. Is that kind of a good way to look at the role of the follower?
I believe so, because, again, it ties it to the purpose or the mission. That's really what draws us to be a good follower and to be a good leader, because we sort of revolve around or evolve around the mission or the purpose. That's what ties us together. So yeah, you have to, because it is our mission. It's our national defense. So being in one of those roles, depending on who you work for and what the mission and purpose is, if you're really not familiar with the mission, you're not fully read in on the mission. Maybe you're a resource initially just to understand it and to be able to fulfill what the task is, but you're not able to push back or ask questions because you're still unsure, but you're filling that role as a resource. But maybe you transition into more of an implementer or a partner. As you mentioned, I kind of see myself initially wanting to be the individualist and push back and challenge because I like critical thinking. So I'm always going, well, maybe this isn't right, but I need to catch myself and go, maybe I need to be more of an implementer or a partner at times. So I can see myself in a different role.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Just like in SDI, we use the notion of strength and overdone strength, not strength, weakness. We fall by default into one of these four different types, and that becomes a strength, but sometimes it's not. We overdo it. Sometimes I need to check my type of followership and ask myself, is this serving the organization best? Am I being authentic with this type of the follower that I've chosen to be?
Yeah, being authentic and transparent and being able to see yourself, you know, both intermediate course and the advanced course, we start with self-awareness, being able to see ourselves, understand ourselves before we can understand others. So just sort of reflecting back and going, well, what role do I play today in the organization or the mission that I'm supporting? And what role should I be fulfilling? And just being aware of that, depending on the mission or the purpose.
You said that this is a topic that is going to be taught in the advanced course. Is there interaction about this topic in the advanced course now?
So we piloted four different classes in 2023, and the students loved it. We teach it in the first week of a four-week course, and sometimes in the first week, when you ask them at the end of the course of 4 weeks, what were the lessons you liked, that some of them just fade from their memory. This one doesn't. They've all come back and went, this is really a good topic. We need to talk more about it. We liked it. Our leadership likes it. It's an emerging topic across the Army, so it's starting to be taught over at Command General Staff College, in the War College. We're going to start teaching it in Army Management Staff College as well. And it's emerging in doctrine. So it's not really deeply embedded in doctrine, but it's gaining a lot of traction.
The Army Civilian Corps creed was changed back in 2019, that when it was published in ADP 622, and we added leadership to the creed. And so the old creed was, I provide stability and continuity. That stability and continuity is kind of the follower type of maybe being a resource or maybe an implementer. And then we changed that from I provide stability and continuity to I provide leadership, stability and continuity. And if we accept that as our creed, that we provide leadership, that implies that we have to learn how to be good followers also, that we have to learn to be individualists and partners when there's a mission coming down.
I think the Aristotle quote talks about that exactly, that we need to be a good follower to be a good leader. And so you have to learn how to follow. Some of us just think, I'm a leader, this is the way I do business. Everybody has a boss. So we have to understand how to follow and be good followers to be good leaders. I think to be a good leader, you have to be a good manager as well. Managing is about things. Leadership is about people. Well, followership is about following people. And people in our civilian creed and our leadership definition in ADP talks about the activity of influencing people. People really is a center of gravity for followers and leaders.
Self-awareness for a follower is to recognize maybe which of those four types I'm drawn to naturally. And then as a leader, to recognize maybe those are the four types of followers. Which ones are my go-to preference? So I would say, I really like resources because they just come in and do their job. Or I really like implementers because I can tell them what to do and they'll, get down there and low crawl with their helmet digging through the dirt. And maybe I have to steel myself, STEEL, to say, I probably need people that are individualists or that are partners that will join with me and keep me out of trouble. It's good self-awareness from the follower, but is it, and I'll ask you, does that same thing apply to the leader?
I think so. The leader's got to look at themselves and go, well, how do I follow? And what example am I setting for the people that work for me? Am I a resource, and therefore I'm developing other resources, or am I more of a partner or an implementer or an individualist? Because we all look at the leader a lot of times and go, I'm going to model that role that they're playing as a role model. But I think there's times when we need all four of them. But being self-aware, as you mentioned, to sort of what role am I playing today, but what role maybe should I play to better support the organization or the mission or the purpose that is really what's driving us.
I knew a guy, he was our battalion commander. He was a little bit of a screamer. And I think you probably have seen those folks where there's a problem and it's volcanic. But he knew that. And he told, when he came in, he knew that. And he told us, he said, you have to withstand the onslaught. What I took from that was his initial reaction to something would cause people to be, let's say the phrase, a yes person, kind of a resource or maybe an implementer. So if my boss is yelling at me, I'm going to do what they say because people don't like to be yelled at. But he knew that, and he told us that. What I learned from that was let him have his own reaction, but don't give in to it, and definitely not in the moment. I learned a lot about leadership from that. He had enough self-awareness to let us know what his tendencies were and to tell us as young officers, you got to be willing to kind of stand up to that. And, you know, when your OER is in question, because that's kind of what it's all about, there's a little bit of reticence to push back, but we're kind of letting the organization down when we don't do that.
Right. We're letting the organization down. We're letting the American people down, our national defense apparatus down. So, yeah, I agree. So sometimes you have to be that individualist, depending on who the boss is and what that leader is trying to do. I think that's really where Ira came up with the idea of this whole Courageous Follower book, of incidents like Mili and incidents like when he sat around the kitchen table in Brooklyn, New York, growing up as a Jewish kid, and what happened in the Holocaust and what happened at Abu Ghraib. And when things are immoral or unethical, you got to stand up and be courageous as a follower and not just get in line and be sheep. Because a lot of people think, well, I'm a subordinate, or I'm just somebody who just does exactly what the boss says. Sometimes you got to push back a little bit. So that partner role or that individualist role, sometimes you have to be an implementer, and just if it's the right thing to do and it's moral and ethical, then you implement the plan. Or you're just a resource because you're trying to just figure out what it is. We kind of move in and out of these four different ones.
And the Mili massacre, that was something that happened in 1968 in Vietnam. And when I came on active duty in the early 80s, same time you did, that was studied. We studied that. And what I felt like the lesson that came out of that was that we put people in positions of authority without education, wisdom, and we thought that we could just make someone look like a leader, have the uniform of a leader, the rank insignia, without the development, the character development. So that person did not have the wisdom that perpetrated that ordered it. And the response was, I was just following orders. That's just something that I know when I was coming up, it was kind of drilled into us not to just blindly follow orders, to, you know, it's got to be legal, it's got to be ethical, and it's got to also, you know, help achieve our national security objectives.
Sure. Yeah, and in the intermediate course and the advanced course, we teach the leadership requirements model that talks about character, having the right person of character and what character is all about, and being ethical and moral based on that. So not just, well, the boss told me to do this, so I'm just going to do it, even though it's unethical or immoral. So you have to be courageous enough to step up and go, no, not going to do that. Challenge, question. But if it's ethical and moral, you should do it. You should implement what the boss is saying.
Right. And I always feel like I get at least one pushback. Sir, ma'am, this is what you've told me to do. My concern is that if we do that, this will happen or it won't achieve that. And then they say, got it. Understand your concerns. I got the green tab. Do it. Roger that. And then you move out smartly.
As they say in the Army, color. Right. So when they say, this is the mission, you've had your say, but I'm in charge. I'm the leader. I'm making this decision. And maybe it's above them. They've been told to implement this. It is color, or you follow the mission purpose. Unless it's unethical and immoral, you're going to implement. But you can challenge it initially, but there's a certain point where, as the individualist, you just have to say, okay, I've said my piece.
Right. I was looking up some quotes for this podcast, and one that I saw that I'd never heard, but I'd never heard the expanded version. It's an Army statement. When in charge, take charge. When you're not in charge, defer to those that are. And that's the second part of it is kind of the hard part that we sometimes get wrong.
Yeah. So we have to be good followers, right? We have to be good servant leaders. So servants follow, they support others, they help develop leaders. That leading up book you mentioned, sometimes we have to lead our boss, but be good followers to help them implement things. Sometimes we just have to follow along what the boss says or our leaders say. And unless we think it's immoral or unethical, we should do it. Accomplish the mission.
Absolutely. And so if you are 13, 14, 15, the advanced course is your grade appropriate CES course. Where would we go to find, where would the folks in the Leader Up audience go to find a little bit more about this topic?
So ADP 622, Army Doctrinal Publications, got a little bit about it. And reading the book, Courageous Follower by Ira Shelliff. Barbara Kellerman also wrote a great book called Followership. There's not a lot out on followership, but those are sort of seminal reads to get you spun up on it.
And so, Gary Heisel, I really want to thank you again for being a guest on Leader Up and Talk. That's a fascinating topic. I've really enjoyed talking to you today about this. So thank you for being a guest on Leader Up.
Now, my pleasure, and it is an excellent topic. I love it. And come to the advanced course, and we can talk some more about it in the future.
So Leader Up audience, what did you hear today? If you're an advanced course grad, do you remember talking about this? And which of those four followers, which do you naturally kind of defer to without thinking about it? And which of those do you maybe need to understand more and push yourself to be sometimes in the workplace? Please subscribe to our podcast. Thanks for listening today, and join us again for another edition of Leader Up.
As always, if you have any questions or feedback or would like to learn more about our podcast, please check the description for our email and for our website. Thanks for listening.